When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There, all of our nieces, nephews, and non-binary familials. I'm your Auntie Ruth.
And I'm your Auntie Gina.
And
we're your weird aunts. The show where we take a look at current pop culture and talk about how it connects to past trends and fads.
This week, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. It's been a bit since we recorded last because the holidays are crazy. Mm-hmm. But they're also, like, really shitty. And so we're just having a depressing Christmas time. We're simply having
a miserable Christmas time.
A miserable Christmas time.
That's right. And so this week we chose... It follows. That's right. And do you have a description for us?
Mm-hmm. I do. It says, a young woman is followed by an unknown supernatural force after a sexual encounter. Which, who hasn't been there?
Seriously. Yeah, I just called it Axe body spray, but... It's like, I cannot get this off of me! It's in my hoodie! Everywhere. But sure.
Some PTSD.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah. It was released, I think, 2014.
Yeah, that's 2014? Nah, 2017?
No, it's 2014. I didn't just guess that. I have it written down. You know, this feels very 2014 to me. You know who I think directed it, if I just had to guess?
Yeah, what?
It was David Robert Mitchell. Oh. Yeah, it felt very Wes Anderson to me.
No.
It was only his second film, David Robert Mitchell. This was one of those movies that went through the whole cycle where it had a build up where the hipsters loved it. Yes. And everybody was like, fine, I'll give it a shot. Then immediately everybody was like, fuck you, hipsters. It is not nearly as good as you said it was. And then again, everybody was like, no, it really is good. Give it a chance. The Witch went through the same treatment.
Yes.
Like all of those movies where it's like, no, there's something different about this. Please give it a shot. And then everybody's like, this is so overhyped. I hate you guys. Midsommar went through it. And well,
I remember when this movie came out and everybody was like, oh, it's so good. It's so good. And I just remember like the lead actress in a chair, like chained up or like this is just remember, like chained up or something. And I thought she was going to be tortured or something. Because there wasn't really, like, a lot of talk about exactly what happens. It was kind of, you know, vague. And so I was like, oh, no, what happens to her? And she was so cute. She had this little cute bra and little panties. Okay. And I was like, okay, well, that's all I remembered about it was just that. And then I never saw it. And, you know, it wasn't like – and I kept hearing how good it was. And it wasn't like I was trying to avoid it. It was just one of those things where I kept forgetting to watch it. And I do that quite frequently.
Sure.
And I did that with this movie. And so when you brought it up to watch it, I was like, oh, yeah. And you were, like, really surprised I hadn't seen it before. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Wait, this is your first time seeing it? That's right.
Yeah, my first time.
Oh, it's been a while since your first time, hasn't it?
It has.
I had brought up this movie when we were discussing Midnight Mass because it's one of those movies where you're not sure when it's taking place. So you have like some characters that are dressed up like kindergarten teachers from 1983. You have like, you know, some people that are dressed like the cool guy from 1992.
Yeah.
So, and not only that, but you have like outdated tech, but then you have, and this is always talked about on Twitter, there's a character named Yara who has the clamshell e-reader.
It's a shell like, phone.
You used to call me on my shell phone. People always talk about that because it's like, was there a point where we had clamshell e-readers and nobody told me?
I really want one.
I obviously. Know, we all do. So it's like, you're not really sure, like, when is this taking place? Is this in our dimension? Is it a parallel dimension?
Yeah.
And there's something like really, again, like uncanny valley about it because it,
oh yeah.
And even I think Lamb gave me this feeling where it's like, is this the same Earth? Is this like a different dimension? Is this possible here? You know, and with It Follows, I'm like, is this purgatory? I mean, is this?
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
You know, because
I thought it was the 80s because, like, you know, the music, the like the, you know, the movies music, it sounds very like 1980s horror. But yeah. Then also, like, you know, but also like After School Special music. It was so cheesy. And I'm like, this is set in the 80s. And then everything that went with the movie made it look like it was set in the like 80s. Because the car, or like you said, the early 90s something, but like the vehicles, the house, the appliances, everything. But it wasn't just like their house, it was every house. And it very much felt like, you know, the freedom of the 80s that, I don't know, it just felt, it had that, what am I trying to say? You know what I mean.
It felt very Latchkey Kid.
Yeah.
It was. It felt like all of these kids were parenting themselves, and they weren't necessarily kids, but in the way that 80s kids always parented themselves, so they were free to do like the Goonies and E.T. and the rest of it because the parents weren't there. They weren't watching them.
Yeah.
And so, and the children in this movie, and they were, I'm sorry, I keep saying children, but they're on the cusp of adulthood.
They're like 16, 17, right?
She's not a girl. Not yet a woman.
Not yet a woman?
Not yet a woman. So, when I read a description, it said that she was in college, but I was like, again, that's the other thing. You don't know what season this is taking place in either. Because she's swimming, but at the same time, people are wearing coats. So again, it's like, is this on Earth? Like, how cold is it? Like, is this, are seasons the same? Like, nothing behaves the way that it should.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just really, I don't know, discombobulating. But so that's the other thing. So nobody's parents are like engaged in their lives. And I think that is very, but right at the 2010s, like, The Night of the Devil is like that too, where they play that 80s horror synth.
Yes.
Like a lot of horror movies started that trend, and I can't get enough of it, to be honest.
I love it too.
Well, considering that I think both of us had New Wave as our top most listened to on Spotify.
It was New Wave.
Yeah, because we're both 60 years old, apparently.
Well, not far. Not far.
I can't help it. And it was like, I think I had both art rock and art pop.
Oh, I don't remember. And pop.
Anyway. I don't know if you ever heard of this. It was on TikTok where it talked about there's this thing where you can live forever, but the only caveat is that there is a snail that chases you. and should the snail ever catch up to you, you will die. So you have to constantly be on the move, and you just have to outpace the snail.
It's like this movie.
Exactly. Exactly. And when everybody was talking about the snail thing, I was like, yeah, I've seen that before. It's called It Follows. So, but that's the thing. So the monster in It Follows, and I think that's why, you know, like people who are big horror fans, we liked it because we're like, this is a totally different kind of monster. It's close to like Michael Myers in the fact that it's omnipresent, but it's slow. It gives you a chance. Like, you get really a running start. You know, you can hop in the car.
You can walk everywhere.
Yeah, that's the
thing. She only walks like a zombie walk.
If you can get a light jog up, you are fine. Like, Michael Myers isn't fast. Like, he's scary, but like, he's just strong and slow, you know?
And again, just pops up out of nowhere behind a tree.
Right. Uh-oh. But he lets you see him, you know?
He does.
And I think that, you know, like, little kids love Michael Myers. And I think it's, like, because he's always there, you know? You know, he's not like your mom who doesn't show up to soccer practice. Like, Michael Myers, good
He'll
or bad,
show up for
he will show up for you. I mean, but, yeah, so we don't know. And again, the thing is that, again, the way that the monster kills you is to copulate with you.
Yeah.
And it will unashamedly take the form of the most disturbing person in your life, whether it be your mother.
Yeah.
Or God knows. So that's bad.
But your best friend.
Sure. Somebody you really appreciate, your trust.
Yeah.
So we'll get to this. So anyway, essentially the plot of this movie is we see that it has taken so far only young people. And the main heroine has had sex with a guy that she knew, okay, you know, no big deal, but it was a consensual encounter. And then he restrains her, the scene that you were alluding to.
Yeah.
In a chair, and she's, like, in her American Apparel commercial.
Little underwear.
Like, oversized underwear. And he's like, no, you need to see this because I want you to be prepared. Which makes me think he did not prepare previous people for this encounter.
I know.
So he's like, there's this presence. It's going to assume different forms. You could know it. You could not. It's slow moving. It's going to kill you. And so she sees it. And then she's telling people and everybody's like, oh, this can't be real. Like, he's playing a mind game, and then he sort of disappears. Like, he's used to fake name and everything else.
Why are we skipping over the fact?
Oh, that, not on purpose, I assure you.
That he looks like Pacey from Dawson's Creek if he sold drugs in the 80s.
Okay, I put him in the category of Astroworld boyfriend. Have we talked about this before?
No.
It's the guy that you go to whatever your local amusement park is.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Houston, so mine was Astroworld. And it's the guy that you don't introduce to your parents, like Mark Wahlberg from Fear.
Okay. He did it, like, she was so cutesy, like, just little pastel pink dream. And then she's, like, dating, kind of, this guy, and he's just not cute.
I mean, I'm sorry that he was miscast. But a guy that's driving an 83 gold Cutlass, like, getting a girl from the suburbs, is tale as old as time. I cannot tell you how many of my friends dated guys who drove an 83 gold Cutlass and sold small amounts of weed on the side.
I just didn't like it for her. But, you know, you're right, it is.
I didn't like it for them!
And it's like, are you surprised he gave you a curse? A sex curse?
Yeah, that is all they give, honey. Like, unplanned pregnancy and sex curses. That is their gifts.
So, anyways, yeah.
Yeah, but... No. I get it. I mean, I was not attracted to him either. But I tell you who I absolutely understand why you would risk it all for is her neighbor across the street.
Greg. I agree 1,000.
That makes a lot more sense to me.
I called him cool slut.
Yeah. I totally get that. So, right. So 83 Cutlass, you know, passes on this curse.
Yeah.
Now, I have read a couple of theories of what this could be. And people have said that, you know, it is like an STD ghost. It could be kind of like the long shadow of like sexual assault. But another one of the theories, and I like kind of, I actually think this one might fit, is that it's not so much just sex, but it's like it's coming of age. And when you're first sort of just understand your own mortality, mm-hmm. and you know, when you start becoming sexually active, that's when things really start to become serious for you. Like, you start to understand, like, you know, oh God, I could get pregnant or I could have a kid, like consequences. Like, you yeah. are sort of introduced into an older world, a more consequential world. And yeah. one of the things that Yara says when she's reading from the clamshell, she talks about, you know, the cruelty of knowing when you die and that, you know, it, you know, to know that it's 5 days away, and then like the most cruel of all, to know it's just 1 second away. And then I remember, you know, cause I went to super, like a really religious school, and yes. we would have circuit preachers like come in for chapel. Anyway, so one of the stories I heard was that there is a country, by the way, the accuracy of this, unknown. I won't even name the country because I feel like
don't
that whoever lives in that country is going to be like, this is horseshit, F you forever. So apparently in this country, they had the death penalty, but they believed it was cruel to tell somebody the day that they would die. So you would go to death row and you could either be shot and killed tomorrow or you could live out your natural life. But they wouldn't tell you. So every day you had, you could live it with the same kind of uncertainty that everybody else had. So you wouldn't just be focused on, oh God, I only have 43, 42 days, 41.
Oh.
And they thought that was more humane.
No, because I would have been in a constant daily state of panic. Because today the day. I mean, I already mildly do that. As it is.
I know, but see, that's like the human experience, right? That's something we all share. So like, you know.
So we're all on death row.
Yeah. But that's kind of like the point of the whole movie, is that the part of the coming of age process is like that loss of innocence and that overwhelming sense of dread that you develop, knowing yeah. that, you know, you're sort of looking down, you know, looking down the barrel of a gun. And then, like, all these things that appear to her, like, you know, her dead father naked on a roof and just, like, sort of being tormented. And she's very much alone. Like, she has no parents. And the people that are helping her navigate this, like, new treacherous world are her friends, especially her girlfriends. Or, well, yeah, and she has a guy friend, too. But, like, who, not her romantic partners, mind you, but her friend group, who in no way disbelieve her, who are 100% supportive and who meet you where you are.
Yes.
That's the thing. They're like, look, if you're seeing crazy ass people chasing you and you need me to drive you 70 miles away to some lake, I will take you there.
Let's go now.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? This guy's coming too.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Cause like, you know, there was like, there were people that were like, yeah, they thought she was crazy, hallucinating, whatever, and that's fine. But it's like the people that really supported her journey and that cared about her and who showed up for her, like those are the people in your life that it's like, especially at that age, you know, a lot of times that's sort of like when people really sort of discover their mental illness for the first time.
Yeah.
And you know, look, we all hash it out in our own ways and like, you know, we know something is going on. We just don't know. Like, we don't know what to do. And yeah.
And on top of that, like in the movie, they were like fighting off this thing with her.
Right.
Yeah, like you were saying, like they believed her from the first moment, you know? And then like, they were like, let's protect you. Let's protect you. I'm going to stay up all night, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then like, they went to the lake. And then they were fighting this thing that they couldn't even see. It was just...
Right.
Because, yeah, that's the thing, is the only person that can see it is the person with the curse. But then other things are physically affected around them, I guess.
You know, there are times, like, in people's lives when they go through crises that you just haven't experienced. Like, if it's a great loss or a physical trauma and you're just like... What do you need right now? What do you need to do? And I will be here with you. Like, do you want to break some shit? Like, do you want to, I will drive you 16 hours away so you can scream into the void. Like, let me help you do what you need to do. Like, what does that look like for you? You know? And like that, I feel like that's kind of like what this movie for me was like, which is, what do we need to do? Like, I don't know what needs to be done on your journey, but I'm like, I'm willing to go there with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in that same vein that you were saying, like, with Goonies or, yeah, E.T., and it was just a band of friends, like, these adventures where, like, we don't know the terrain. This has never happened. I don't think this has ever happened to anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know how, like, in a lot of those movies, there's always like that, or Back to the Future or something, where there's always somebody who, like, the weird family member where they're like, I can't tell you what's happening, but I need 14 shotguns. They're like, okay, I can find 14 shotguns.
Yes.
I accept that, you know? I don't need to know the science. Like, right now there are vampires, and it's like, okay, all right, do you need garlic, or how are they killed, or, you know, like, just accept it as it is.
And she didn't even know, like, what this thing was that was, she just knew it was happening, so she had even less to go off of.
Well, and that's the other thing, is that I saw an interview with the director, and they were saying that, you know, in this section of the story that we had, we just dealt with young people, and so they just didn't have the experience to deal with this monster. Like, they didn't look into its history. They didn't look at ways. So as far as we know, they're just going to try to live as long as they possibly can. They don't even know how to kill it. So it's like, you know, had it been any other person, you know, cause like a lot of times when you, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it's like, we need to find a name and we need to know what it wants. And we need to, you know, satisfy like, why it's been, you know, but like, they didn't even think that far ahead, you know?
Not at all.
Like, they didn't give it any thought whatsoever. Like,
they
it was
couldn't.
Just in, right. Yeah. And I guess, well, and I also thought that that is such like, you know, that's such a good metaphor for, I mean, a trauma or life, I guess maybe just life in general or depression, is that, you know, because it just never stops, it wears you down.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, God, I really would get on top of this, or I would take care of this. But like, I've never been able to like slow down enough or take a breath to like get things in order. Like it just never stops. Mm-hmm. So you're just so exhausted that you never get a chance to take care of it, you know?
Yeah. And that's totally what happens throughout this entire movie is, you know, they all have to be on their guard. So like the Pacey, drug dealer,
your
Pacey,
favorite character.
He, like you were saying, I just want to like reiterate, but like he was saying to her that, you have to pass it on to somebody else. But if that person dies, then the curse comes back to the previous person that gave that person the curse. So if Jay, did we even say her name? Her name is Jay. Our lead character's name is Jay. So if she were to have sex with somebody else, she would no longer have that curse, but then that person would. And if that person got killed by the curse person, what are we calling it? The curse.
It's just called the curse, yeah. Or the demon,
let's call it the demon. So if the demon ended up killing that person that you gave it to, then whap, you got it again.
Comes right back to you.
Comes right back to you. So that's the problem. And the thing I was thinking is like, Jay, fuck like 20 people.
Right.
Like not an orgy, but like, you know, maybe one a day, and then you're good for a while.
Yeah. Now, a Scorpio would say that. You know, the smartest dude in this whole movie is her childhood friend who ends up being kind of her. Yeah.
Oh, he was precious.
And he's been in so much. He was in a couple of scary movies, and his, I don't know. I think he might be an English actor.
Keir Gilchrist?
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's really cute, I think. Yeah. But anyway, like in that, you know, IT guy kind of way, but like hipster IT guy kind of way.
But he was also like really good guy friend in this.
Yeah, he ended up being kind of the, yeah. Anyway, like the heroic lead in this movie. But, you know, if he was like, you know, he could sleep with a sex worker whose job is to, like, sleep with men. And it,
yeah.
So it's guaranteed that she would sleep with somebody else, you know.
That's good.
I don't know. It is hard. I mean, it's like such an, because it's always such an ethical dilemma. Because it's like,
that's horrible. I mean, how could you do that to somebody? Like a sex worker? What a fucking shitty thing to do.
Yeah, I would wonder, though, like, if you could talk to somebody and be like, would you be comfortable, like, in advance knowing this? And then you could just choose the worst Johns you have and then curse all of them.
Yeah, like, if you were to present it as something and not just, you're cursed and I don't even tell you. Like, that's fucked up. But, like, if you could sit down with the person and have a dialogue.
Yeah, like, there's this sex demon and... No, wait, you know.
She is a curse, but hold on.
Just wait one second. Yeah. But then it's like, you know, if any of those men that pass a lot of their wives, see, it just never stops. Never stops.
Boo-hoo.
I know. I mean, but you know what? Like, it is like navigating... like sexuality as a young person. I mean, it's so gross. It's so hard. Like, I don't wish it on anybody, you know.
Sex?
I mean, like, for women.
Yeah. Well,
and if you're, you know, and if you're not straight. That's not easy.
No. Sex is a curse.
That's what I'm saying.
A really fun curse.
I mean, it can take such a dark turn so quickly.
Yeah, it can.
I mean, the minute I put on Bauhaus, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but ended. And even now, Gina. Yes. Even now.
Especially now.
Especially now. I just think it's really inventive. It's very scary because, again, you never know that there's just a constant sense of dread. Like, at no point is this, like, main character ever safe? Yeah. Ever. And it's really inventive because, you know, anybody can become a threat. Like, people that you assume aren't completely safe can become a threat. So, but, you know, the other thing that I thought was important was that it kind of showed this sort of decline of an empire. You know, it was filmed in Detroit. But yeah, I mean, there was just something about, so you have this, and again, in that same way of the kids' 80s movie, you have these, like, young people wandering around, like, no adults seemingly anywhere. And they were, like, never involving the mother, even though she's in a life and death scenario. I mean, and it's like they're playing in the ruins of, like, a deactivated place, you know? Like,
yes.
So all these things, like, you know, there's typewriters and, like, all this defunct technology. Like, they have old TVs stacked on old TVs.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you, like, flat screens are, like, $200 at Walmart. Like, this, there's no need for you to have three, like, defunct black and white TVs. Like, it just felt like,
why?
You know, in the, you know, in the Labyrinth.
The old dead TV.
Yeah, you know, in Labyrinth, after, like, she's at the crystal ball and then she, like, falls into the junk lady's place.
Oh, yeah.
That's where it felt like they were at. Like, just all this, like,
see you detritus. There. I live there.
Yeah, no kidding. You mean my closet? Yeah. But anyway, it was like, so just this collection of, you know, and even the suburbs they lived in, like, they were still, like, 20 years out of date. It was, like,
mm-hmm.
no longer, like, it was some other person's version of luxury. It was, you know what I mean?
It's like they were so out of reality completely that not only was it an 80s movie, it was, like, it was almost like, oh, don't go, you know, past this place because you're going to get to 8 Mile. Maybe that was just reality.
Oh, I see.
You know? And it was like, oh, mom said to never go here. But they're so protected in their cutesy little world
right.
that they live in. Their nice suburban life that they never actually see. Well, they did because they drove through it. But they never actually get to see what reality is.
Yeah. But that's the thing is that it's where they're living is not idealized. Not anymore. Like, it's like they're in, like, an abandoned playground. You know, mm-hmm. it's not...
But, like, 20, 30 years ago, where it was normal, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not a happy place. Like, it's an above-ground pool, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
That's – it's not – you know, we talked about how scary indoor pools was, but we have not touched on how scary above-ground pools are.
She liked her above-ground pool.
She loved it. Above-ground pools in fall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Oh, I really don't like that.
I don't like it at all. Not when you're being stalked by a demon.
Why are you getting in a pool?
Absolutely not. You could not be more vulnerable than floating around in a canvas above ground pool.
I don't get it.
When you've got unstoppable demon monsters that will straight up pick up a rock and just come right in through the window. Canvas pool, no prob.
Yeah.
No prob. Not for a demon.
But like,
not for a sex demon.
But she would have had time to have, like, seen it from a mile away at least and been like, oh, here
if
it she, comes.
If it was in her eye line in the above ground pool, which is, there's no eye line there. She's looking up at the heavens.
No eyeliner.
No eyeline. The skyline is in your eye line. It's not coming from heaven. Not the sex demon. No, ma'am. Seriously, so many wrong decisions. How many times does that bitch have to crash a car? Tell me that. Tell me that. You don't have to go 100. You know that. You know that sex demon can't walk faster than 5 miles an hour at the fastest. Damn. You don't have to step on the gas. Why don't you do some deep breathing exercises and stay on the road?
Pick a proper path.
Say that 5 times fast. Nope. That made me crazy. But what did make me crazy is how, so the main actress, Jay, and I don't know how to say, is it Micah?
Micah Monroe?
Sorry if I missaid it, but she did a great job.
Yeah. She's been in other stuff. I don't remember what, but I know that face.
And I know, I think she's like a certified scream queen.
Oh, like nice.
She does a lot of horror.
She's made it.
Yeah. But she looks so much like Gwen Stefani after the first... Allegedly. I mean, it's true. But you know what I mean? Like, right after the first nose job. Which, I mean, was beautiful.
I really miss... Hey, you know what?
Tell me about it.
Okay. So about that, it was grocery stores with the, like, you have, like, the clothing section. It's almost like a Walmart, I suppose, but this is not. It's like this Kroger. It's Fred Meyer's. So I went in there and...
To get some clothes, like you always do at the grocery store.
It's not a grocery store. It's like a... Like a Costco kind of a thing, but not as big, you know, more local stuff.
Okay.
So I go in there.
To get some clothes.
I was grocery shopping. Uh-huh. I also.
Got some clothes.
But there was a No Doubt circa like 1995 t-shirt. Well, obviously not the real thing, but I was like, oh, no doubt. And then I look over into the juniors. Like, I'm not in the junior section because why would I be there? Jesus.
Can I find something smaller for myself? Thank you.
I'd like to buy something for myself in high school. So I look over there.
I'm working on a time machine.
So in the junior section, there was like this like mini skirt that was black and white checker, and I was like, oh,
and then you can wear some creepers.
I want it so bad. And then like next to it was like this neon green top, and I'm like,
so like a studded bracelet.
You were talking about the lead actresses, how she looks like Gwen Stefani,
right?
But it just took me right back to the... Was No Doubt cool for you? Like, was it okay to like them for you?
Well, before they got big.
Yeah.
I
did not like that song, No Speak.
Well, there was never a song called No Speak. So, there was called Don't Speak. No Speak. I No Speak the language. That I'm leaving in. That I'm leaving in. My favorite song was Spider Wobs. That one I'm leaving in.
Hey, guess what? I ate a gummy.
Kick in, buddy. Okay. So if we were going to wrap it up, which we shouldn't, because I feel like the analysis coming out of us is spot on.
Oh, but I hated Don't Speak was what I was trying to say. I hate that song. Don't speak.
Shh, no speak. No speak.
But I loved that song.
Yes.
Well, I like Spiderwebs, but I liked that song, Sunday Morning. Remember the song Sunday Morning?
I do remember it.
That was the best song on that tape.
In conclusion,
in other
news, follows is a must watch. Even spoiling it doesn't spoil it because it's
we didn't spoil it.
Well, there's nothing to spoil. There's a sex demon that stalks you slowly. I mean, you just really have to see it.
She might live to see another day. She might not. I don't know.
As with us all, except we will at some point lose to the sex demon chasing us all.
Yeah.
But what we like to do here on the show is we put, well, I say we, but it's Ruth does it all. She organizes, but we do a Spotify playlist for in honor of, in tribute to the film we watched.
Yes.
And, you know.
Well, I'll just go ahead and.
Please do.
Interrupt you. No. It's time for me to take over here, friend.
I was just, you know.
Oh, hey, real quick.
Uh-oh.
So, my partner was no watching speak. This with me. No speak. This didn't come from me, so it's fine. You'll want to hear it. So, I was watching the movie with my partner last week, and he came up with the best term for her. I can't believe we were calling it a demon or whatever, because he had called her a
Why are you calling it a her?
Because she, like, her nasty monster body was a her when she was fucking Greg.
Okay, but it often showed up as men.
Oh.
I think it's interesting that you think it's a she.
Huh.
And you can have these kind of conversations with your friends once you watch the movie.
So he called this a fuckubus.
Ooh.
I can't believe that we haven't been calling
that's really good
this a fuckubus.
Nice.
So now my Spotify playlist, the first song that I chose was Girl Afraid by the Smiths.
Good one. Mm-hmm.
And then the second song I chose was Close to Me by The Cure.
Oh.
And then the third song I chose was I Think We're Alone Now by Tiffany.
Good and one.
I kept getting a song in my head and I kept like trying to sound like Tiffany, but I think I can. Like when she's like, trying to get away into the net.
Did you just put Tiffany on? Was that Tiffany?
Yeah. No, I mean, then it nibble in the night and then you say.
Oh my gosh. Are you playing Tiffany right now?
Children behave. I think we're alone now.
Wow.
Doesn't seem to be anyone around.
Do you have a synthesizer? Are you playing a synthesizer right now?
So what were your choices?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it. So, Love Will Tear Us Apart.
Okay.
And then I did Time by David Bowie because it has that same sort of like, you know, demanding Billy Dolls and other friends of mine, you know?
Uh-huh.
That same sort of narrative. And then, oh, One Way or Another. I'm gonna get you. And then I did a fourth one.
Oh.
But it's a good one.
Okay.
The more you ignore me.
The closer I get.
That's right. You're wasting your time.
That's like a perfect song.
Right? That's the first really one I thought of, actually. Oh, Lord. Well, I hope you have yourself a miserable Christmas time. No, I'm just kidding. I do hope your designated Christmas choices, the ones that you get to make for yourself, are very happy.
Pick the perfect path. Pick the proper path this holiday season.
Pick the pickled pepper. Well, anyway, it was good to see you, partner.
It was good to see you, too. And on that note,
with that, I want to thank everyone for listening to the show.
You can send in your recommendations for movies, music, or TV, whatever. We'd love to hear from you.
And you can find us at Weird Aunties on Twitter, Your Weird Aunts on Instagram, Facebook at Your Weird Aunts. Oh, on TikTok at Your Weird Aunts.
Yeah. And don't forget to like and subscribe and follow Your Weird Aunts on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And have a happy holiday. Do something for you. You know,
just do for something for you anyways.
Yeah. Treat yourself. Buy something expensive. Yep. I don't know.
I'm your Auntie Ruth.
And I'm your Auntie Gina. And we're
weird.
You're weird.